Travel presented by Vintage Guitar Magazine with your host, me, James Patrick Regan, otherwise known as Jimmy from the Deadlies. And today I'm speaking with guitarist Neely Brosh. In our conversation, Neely discusses going to school at the Berklee School of Music in Boston, and she describes the lack of gigs in Boston. Neely tells us about her new album, Eventide, and the personnel on the album, and she also talks about her work and touring with Danny Elfman, Cirque du Soleil, and Death Clock. Neely tells us about her relationship with Ibanez Guitars and her signature model, and she also takes us through her amps, and she tells us about the gear for the Cirque gig. Neely takes us through her musical history after Berklee, playing with the Iron Maidens opposite Nita Strauss, and she tells us about her early guitar heroes. Neely talks a little bit about her guitarist brother Ethan and what he's up to. Neely tells us about tour plans for her in Europe and the rhythm section she uses in Europe and the East and West Coast of the U.S. To find out more about Neely, you can go to her website, neelybrosh.com. That's N-I-L-I-B-R-O-S-H.com. And she's very active on the socials. Please subscribe, like, comment, share, and most of all, review this podcast. I'd really appreciate it. And please support Vintage Guitar Magazine and all the wonderful things they do for us guitar players, because they do so many wonderful things for us guitar players. Oh, and if you'd like to support the podcast, you can go to patreon.com/haveguitarwilltravelpodcast. Thanks, everybody. Here's my friend Neely.
Hey,
how are you, Neely?
Good, how are you?
Good. I met you before. You probably don't remember.
Yes, you do remember. Absolutely.
Okay, good. Did you graduate from Berklee?
Yes.
You did? You spent 4 years there?
I went through the summers and I finished in 3 to try to save the money.
Yeah,
You know, but yeah, I did finish.
Okay, good. And did you stay in Boston or did you move away from Boston after that?
I spent about a couple years there till I moved. Yeah.
Okay.
My family lives in Boston, so.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Was it hard to find gigs in Boston?
Yeah. There's no gigs in Boston.
There's no gigs in Boston. Why is that? There's so many musicians and there.
You know, we've been asking ourselves that question for a long time. Yeah. Yeah. That's a good, yeah. I don't know. I guess it's, you know, because the city itself is very different than just the music school environment, you know what I mean? Like outside of that bubble, it's not really a city with, I mean, I guess nowhere is, but it's not really a city with like small venues that's really begging for live music or anything. So no. Unfortunately.
No. And then you have New England Conservatory and Boston Conservatory.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it's a shame. Yeah.
It is a shame. And not even over the river in Cambridge. Like there's nothing there either.
Not really. I mean, and you know, we're talking about like 20 years ago, really close to, you know what I mean? Yeah. So I can't imagine it being more fruitful now.
Well, I went there 20 years before that. Well, not 20 years. I went in 1990.
Okay.
And there was nothing. There was plenty of work for comedians.
There's yes, there was a lot of that. Yeah. So I don't understand
musicians. It was really depressing. When you look at the job board and it's like assistant music professor or something like that.
I know.
Or working in an amusement park in some town you've never heard of.
And you know what? It kind of, looking back, it makes it a lot more obvious that everybody would have the attitude that they do about making money gigging.
Yeah.
You know, because if that's what you know, like, of course you would have that attitude of like, no one pays anybody and that kind of thing, because you just, it's not in your peripheral vision anywhere.
Absolutely.
So
yeah. Well, I love the new album. It's fantastic.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, it's amazing. And the depth of styles and it's fantastic.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. I didn't see the credits. So did you program the drums? Are there live drums on the album, or is it? It sounded like a few of the tracks were programmed.
A few of the tracks are programmed. I programmed a lot of the ones that are programmed. And then there are live drums by several drummers, Elon Rubin, Matt Logg, who plays in AC/DC Virgil Donati are some of the live drummers. So so I feel like it was a good balance of real and fake drums.
Exactly. Have you ever tried to sing?
I do a bit of singing with Danny Elfman live.
Okay.
So I guess that's a pretty good definition of I've tried to.
Uh-huh.
You know, when that kind of boss asks, you step out of your comfort zone and you try and provide. But I haven't, you know, clearly I haven't done it to service my own music or anything like that.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay. All right. Fair enough. How'd you get hooked up with Danny?
It was really just based on a recommendation when they were looking for to put a new band together in 2020.
Had you already done Cirque du Soleil? You must have already done Cirque du Soleil.
Yeah.
Do you still do anything for Cirque du Soleil?
I do, yeah. I play in the same show, their Michael Jackson show that I mm-hmm. did. I'm a sub at this point, so it's much easier for me because I get to do the touring and all the other stuff. And then because I live in Vegas, I can come in every couple of weeks, you know, do a couple shows, say hi, get my stage shops sharpened, hang out with my friends, and sayonara till after the next tour, you know, or 2 weeks, whatever comes sooner. I lucked out with a really good situation there. Like, again, it's all thanks to my wanting to have stayed in Vegas. That I'm able to do that.
And how'd you get hooked up with Cirque du Soleil?
That show actually they have open casting for all their roles, so it's always easy for musicians or any artist to see if there are openings in any shows. But that one in particular had like a big open casting call when they created the show back in 2013, 2012. And I was a finalist there, and I just kind of stayed in touch with them through the years when they needed a guitar player again, and I auditioned again, and that moved me to Vegas.
That's great. That's fantastic. When you graduated from Berklee, what was your first gig outside of Berklee?
The Iron Maidens.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And who's your, and is it Paul, or what's your favorite singer?
No, it's Bruce Dickinson.
Oh.
Yeah. Is that surprising?
Well, to somebody that is old as me, I only remember Paul. I saw Paul with them. Paul was like the Tom Jones of heavy metal.
I can see that.
And Bruce Dickinson is more just like a heavy metal singer. And to take anything away from him.
I understand what you're saying. Yeah.
Did you gain notoriety playing with the Iron Maidens? Like, was it profitable?
I think so. I mean, I kind of, you know, at the time it was me and Nita actually at the time, just kind of, subbing for each other, filling in. And I, at the beginning of that, was still living in Boston. So, you know, I was flying out to do some gigs, and then later on I moved to LA and I was doing some of the gigs with them. But I mean, it was definitely a great like way to get my feet wet in the professional world.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. And were you playing Ibanez back then?
No. Well, for some of it, about a year after I got hooked up with them, I started playing with Tony McAlpine, and that was how I got introduced to the guys at Ibanez. And so while I was doing both of those gigs, some of that seeped into my Ibanez days.
Uh-huh. And what were you using for amps back then?
My PVJSX.
Okay.
Which was a really bad choice for, not for how it sounded, just for me carrying gear.
Yeah. is that a fractal type of thing?
No, it's the old Joe Satriani head.
Oh,
the PV head, and it weighs like 55 pounds or something.
Gotcha.
Like it's insanely heavy. It sounds great when you know how to dial it in, but but yeah, that was not a practical choice. And you know, this is right before modeling things started getting really good.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Are you using modelers, or are you using amps?
I'm using both. I use the Mesa Triple Crown.
Uh-huh.
And then I use the Headrush products for modeling stuff.
Okay.
So it depends on the gig. It depends on the situation. The little MX-5 Headrush is a great little fly rig that fits in your backpack and stuff. So it just depends.
And is it programmable, obviously? And so you have all your
beyond. Sounds. Yeah.
Right on. And does it take a lot of time to get your sounds programmed into it?
I don't think so. And I've always been kind of the if it ain't broke, don't fix it type of person. So I kind of have my basic tones, I call them, that I operate from. And then from that, I can expand it to whatever I need. So, you know, it's most of the stuff that I do doesn't require a lot of different sounds and textures. So I can usually get away with a couple of main tones.
Yeah. When you were studying guitar early on, who were you listening to?
Andy Timmons,
okay.
Greg Howe, yeah. Guthrie Govan, like those were my big, and for Nuno, you know, those were my big, like Extreme was always my favorite band, you know, and Maiden, and I liked, you know, a lot of the 80s stuff and everything. So fusion, those kind of just built the gamut of my influences.
Yeah. And were you already living in Boston before you started going to Berklee?
Yes.
Okay. So, yeah. And was there any thought to going to GIT or not so much?
I thought about it. I visited it and everything, and I really liked it. I just, at the time, they didn't offer you a bachelor's degree.
Okay.
Or maybe they just were starting to or something like that. And that, with where I grew up, was kind of, there was a lot of importance placed on that, you know, if you're going to go to music school, at least have a bachelor's degree to fall back on, whatever the hell that means these days. You know, I don't even know. But also for me, you know, realistically, because I lived in Boston and I was a pretty sheltered kid, and I don't think that I saw myself moving across the country at 18 to go to college. I just was not that kid.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And what's your dog's name?
Micah.
Oh my God. All right, cool.
He's a good boy. Yeah, he's just sniffing around, but he's really good during these Zooms and stuff. He's very well behaved. He just wants to hang out.
Very good. And your brother played guitar as well?
Yeah, yep. Still does.
And what's he doing?
He plays in bands in Boston, and he plays in a Bon Jovi tribute band. And he also plays in that band Fifth Angel.
Tell me about working. Have you worked with Paul Gilbert?
I did one gig with him where we were on a big bill together and kind of everybody jammed at the end type of thing. Yeah.
And how about Stu?
Stu, a little bit more. We've played live together a few times, and he played some tunes on my second album, Matter of Perception.
Okay, right on.
Yeah.
So at this point, you're going to go out on a big tour. Are you pretty well known in you know, in Europe?
You know, your guess is as good as mine. It's my second time touring my stuff out there. I've definitely gone out there many times for different projects and everything. Yeah, I love touring over there. It's a lot of fun, and I think people appreciate live music and appreciate that you came all the way to see them, you know.
Yes,
so
exactly.
we try to make it, you know, to me I think it's an important thing to do. Like, I feel like there's importance in bringing your music to the people.
Oh, so. Yeah, absolutely. And are you touring with a full band?
It's a trio, yeah.
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 Are those guys, are they coming from the U.S. or are they over there already?
No, they're a European rhythm section.
How'd you get hooked up with them?
Through connections and stuff and knowing them from other bands.
And have you had the opportunity to rehearse or not yet?
We will. Okay. We will, yeah. We will rehearse locally.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And when the tour switches over here to the U.S., do you have a U.S. band or is it those two guys as well?
Yeah, I have an East Coast band and a West Coast band.
Do you really?
Yes, different rhythm sections, which I kind of like, you know, because they put their own different touches on the music and especially on tunes that I've been playing for years and everything. It's nice to kind of keep it varied and breathe new life into it.
Yeah. And do you have them learn like your whole catalog or?
No, I mean, I don't think we've ever played through absolutely everything. So it's just based on whatever is cool for the live show, and we go from there.
Yeah.
But with both sets of those bands, we've been playing together for years already. So it's less new stuff than repeats, you know.
Yeah. Okay.
So, yeah.
And as far as are you when you go to Europe, are you bringing the modeler? Or are you going to bring? Do you have gear over there?
No, and that's when I use my fly rig.
Okay. Yeah. And over here, will you be using your Mesa?
It depends. You know, it depends on where the gig is at and everything. I do try to save my back if I'm the one carrying gear. Yeah. You know. Yeah. So.
And are you traveling? So, apart from the bands, are you traveling by yourself? Do you have a crew or anything, or is it just like?
We are a very humble crew of just the band and the tour manager.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. At least you have a tour manager.
Yeah.
And do you sell merch after the show and everything?
Sure.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Cool. Yeah. That's great. And so tell me about your deal with Ibanez. You have your own model, correct?
Yes, it's coming out. It's been unveiled at NAMM, and it's coming out. It's going to be available over the summer.
Yeah. And what separates your model from everybody else's model there?
Well, I mean, you know, like I keep telling everybody, I wasn't trying to necessarily reinvent the wheel with it or anything, but I've always been an RG player. I think that's we don't see too many artist models that are RGs these days. And so I really wanted to be a person in my generation to continue the tradition of the RG thing being so synonymous with what Ibanez is to a lot of people.
Yeah.
For me, it was a big thing to kind of make it like the fat strat RG. So humbucker single is another type of thing that we don't really see in RGs very often.
Exactly.
And because even though they're EMG pickups, they're passives. So that still services that same thing. And, you know, I wanted it to be a versatile instrument. I mean, that's the type of instrument that I've been using for years for many different kinds of music, different kinds of gigs, and it's worked really well for me across the gamut. So I just wanted to put all my favorite variables into it, you know, whether that's the color scheme and the pickups, the wizard neck, you know, the original edge, you know, all the things that I think people appreciate about what RGs mean to them, you know.
Yeah.
So and making an affordable guitar too, because I've never been the type of player that plays super high-end guitars. I've never pushed the idea that like you have to have the nicest guitar ever to have it be a really reliable instrument, you know. So I don't feel like I should be selling that to people either, you know. I want to kind of offer them the same thing that I really use.
Exactly. And you're not afraid, just by listening to your record, you're not afraid to use your neck pickup. And
not anymore, no. and no, when it makes sense, for
you're
sure.
You're not afraid to use your tone control either.
No, I'm not afraid to ride on the volume knob either, you know what I mean? Like there's so much dynamics to be had that we tend to forget about.
Yeah.
even if that's just when you're talking about like high gain playing even, you know? So I like trying to get all that out of the guitar that you can.
Yeah. They're at home. Do you have an acoustic guitar?
I do. I have some like crappy acoustics sitting around, you know, I don't have like a really nice acoustic because I also like tend to not have to use it for any gigs. Generally, it comes up every once in a while, but you know, like that's an area of my playing that, you know, is not something that I spend that much time on, honestly.
Oh, yeah. For the Cirque gig, what would you use for that?
Well, the show has its own gear.
Okay.
So across the board, like really the only thing that you can control is your picks. they have, the show's got its own guitars that were created for the show. They use an Axe FX that lives in a studio that's about like three levels above the stage. Wow. Everything is automated. Really, you just have no control over that. It's just that's what the show is. So you're either okay with that and or not, you know. Yeah.
And as far as effects that you use for your own stuff, what are you using for effects?
I'm not effects heavy really, you know. I like a little delay. I like the carbon copy MXR.
Sure.
Obviously the market is saturated with great sounding effects out there, you know, but I've always been the kind of player that gets the bulk of my tone from the amp. And then, you know, whatever little extra I need, I, you know, can always find it. Obviously with the modeling stuff, that's all built into the thing anyway. So,
yeah. So the tour ends in the U.S. in May, at the end of May, or maybe?
Well, so that's two different tours. So I'm going to Europe with my music, and then I'm coming back right back to the States to do a tour with Death Clock and
Monomar.
Yeah, so that's a long run in North America.
Okay, and is that like your primary band at the moment?
I mean, I feel like all the projects that I'm in are my primary band at the moment. It just depends on who's touring a lot that year. Uh-huh. You know, it's always like ends up being like scheduling conflicts and this band wanting to do a show on this day and this band wanting to do a show on this day. And it's just whatever makes it on the calendar is what's on the calendar.
Yeah. Did they seek you out as a guitar player?
I believe so. I mean, I've known Brendan for a long time, and we were friends back when I lived in LA and everything. And I, you know, wasn't expecting him to need a guitar player, and it just somehow worked out.
What's their tour schedule look like?
It's I believe the tour is about 30 shows all across the U.S. couple dates in Canada.
Okay. And after that, are you going to tour your own material?
I'm going to be taking a couple of months off, probably, because there's going to be more touring with Danny Elfman and with Death Clock and later on this year. Yeah, so I'm basically trying to find the pockets of when I can be doing my own stuff. I'll probably, you know, end up doing some Ibanez clinics for my signature and everything. So I'm just honestly trying not to oversaturate my year.
Yeah.
And we'll see when we can get more solo shows booked to support the album.
Yeah. When you do have this time off, what are you going to do? What do you do for fun and to relax?
I go hiking with my dog if the weather permits. You know, I'm kind of a homebody. I like just hanging out, watching movies and chilling with friends.
Yeah.
Right. Nothing out of the ordinary. Yeah.
Do you go to shows?
I do go to shows when it makes sense. You know, there's a lot of stuff that comes through Vegas, a lot of friends that come through town. So I do try to see what I can.
Uh-huh. Is there anything, any particular type of music that you go to see or any?
I'll see everything. I mean, you know, Vegas is a haven of live entertainment. So there's a lot of good stuff that either lives here or comes through here. And
Do you know Mike Varney at all?
Not personally, no. Kind of crossed paths a few times, but
just curious. Well, it's been wonderful talking to you, Neely. I appreciate
you
your
too.
Time.
And thank you so
great
much.
Great to see you again and continued success.
You too. Thank you so much. Yeah. Appreciate it.
Yeah, of course.
All right. Yeah. Have a good one. Thank you.
Bye bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Have Guitar Will Travel. You can catch up on all the things I'm doing at thedeadlies.com. And I'm on all the social media platforms as well. And please support Vintage Guitar and all the wonderful things they do, because they do many, many wonderful things for us guitar players. Thanks. Please subscribe. Please tell a friend. And I'll see you guys next week. Bye, guys.